The things Mariel disclosed about her, it all renders me speechless. I was hoping to see Pax before having to meet her, just to give me a bit of courage. I mean, how to process it? I just don't know. But I suck it up and walk over to her, extending my hand. Nice to meet you, Victoria. I'm Cynthia. I laugh. Cinderella, Oliver's sister. And, I shrug, Pax's girlfriend, maybe. You can call me Tori, she purrs in a sultry, sexy voice. Oh, okay. Well, you can call me Cindy. Everyone does. Except, I nod my head to Mariel. I'll just leave you girls, Mariel says, so you can get to know each other better in private. Mariel leaves, closing the door behind her. And then, shit, what to say? Victoria walks forward and takes a seat in a chair, straightening out her lavender top as she does it, then crosses her racehorse legs that spill out of her micro miniskirt and folds her hands in her lap. She said you wanted to talk to me? Tori looks up at me expectantly, full of fire and defiance. I do, I say, taking a seat next to her in the other chair. Jesus, does she have to be so beautiful and sophisticated in her fluttery blouse and giant diamond ring? I resist the urge to look down at my gaudy silver bracelets clinking on my wrist, or my old, worn fry boots that most definitely make me look like a cowgirl hick, since I'm wearing them with a red flirty skirt and black and white tank top that says cute but psycho across my giant tits. I'm not even going to bother trying to justify the two pigtail braids I have in my hair today. I thought it was cute this morning. Now, standing in front of Mrs. Corporate, I just feel childish. Well, I'm all ears, Cindy. Give it your best shot. She's intimidating. Definitely intimidating. I'm suddenly wishing my mother was here to say what I need to say. She'd know how to handle this woman. She'd talk circles around her and threaten to kick her ass if she stepped out of line. But I'm not that talented in the tough chick department. I'm more of a kill-em-with-quirkiness kind of girl. I'm not sure that's going to work with Mrs. Corporate. Shit. Get it together, Cindy. You're capable and smart and very good at what you do. I'm just a little worried about what happened out there on Pax's islands and the Exumas. Define worried, Tori says, her voice smooth, calm, confident. Well, I laugh nervously. You almost got him killed. He almost got us killed. She takes a deep breath and a moment to compose herself. So I'm not sure we have anything to discuss about that incident. But the reason, Tori, surely you can see the problem I'm having. Not quite, Cindy, she says, unrattled. Why don't you explain? He was doing it to protect Weston, Tori. You know that, right? Do I know that? She says, a little bit of bitchiness leaking through in her tone. All I know is that Mr. Mysterious set us up to be ambushed out in the middle of the ocean. They had machine guns, Cindy. Does that sound like protecting us? Nobody calls them machine guns, Tori. Please. And from what I understand, Pax had no choice. That Liam guy came to our house, our office. He was relentless. I heard the entire conversation. It's not like Pax did it for money. He did it because Liam threatened to hire someone else if he refused. And the reason Liam was so pissed off was because West had something he wanted. Well, Liam Henry beat the shit out of West when he was a child, killed his father, and then sold him to another family. Does that sound like something a 7-year-old can control? Of course not, I say, backing down. No, I didn't mean... Shit. I didn't know that part. Tori remains silent for a second. But you, I say. You don't know the whole story either. So tell me, she says, gritting her teeth. If you know what's happening, then tell me, please, because West refuses to talk about it anymore. He says it's behind us. Clearly it's not behind us, I say. Clearly. And this is why I'm here, to fill her in. I'm the only one, aside from Mariel, Who knows what's really going on here? I've been mulling everything over all day, willing it not to be true. Wishing I could just write off Mariel Hawthorne as some delusional rich snob who's seen too many detective movies or read too many crazy books. But everything she told me makes sense. Everything makes so much sense, right down to the part that involves my family. And if you'd like a more accurate rundown on what happened, Victoria snaps, I'll say this. I was running for my life. I thought West was dead at one point. I thought Paxton Vance was going to kill me. And that's before all the shit went down. Imagine people you love being tortured in front of you. Imagine the one person you fear most being responsible for it. Imagine, Tori says, the anger practically pouring out of her. The worst possible outcome after all that happened. I swallow hard and take a deep breath. I'm sorry. I don't care about apologies, Cindy. I have a plan. She looks me dead on. And West won't even listen to me because he wants to think this is behind us. Well, I've got a child to think about. My son isn't going to grow up with this shit hanging over his head. And so the reason we're all here together right now had better include the words end and game. Because that's where I'm at right now, Cinderella Shrike. End game. It takes me a few seconds to let all that sink in. Why are we here? Mariel gave me strict orders not to open my mouth to any of the misters until she has a chance to talk to Pax about it. But she did want me to discuss it with Tori, since she is the only one of us girls who was there when that whole rape charge actually went down. Plus, after hearing everything Mariel had to say about Tori, I've come to the conclusion that she's badass. Victoria Arias is a Nikita. She reminds me of Five's oldest sister, Sasha, for some reason. Capable, smart, and dangerous. What kind of plan? I ask. Tori looks away, stares out the window like she's trying to figure out if she can trust me. But I'm Cindy Shrike. I'm in this group whether she likes it or not, whether Paxton and I are a thing or not. My brother is involved, and by extension, my sister Ariel. Because they are in business, have been in business, since this whole thing started. And even though no one ever told me, no one needed to tell me. I know it's the business that got Oliver involved in all this. Whatever happened to him at Brown is the reason he is the way he is today. He was never so standoffish before that rape charge. He was sweet and funny and charming just like my dad. And now Oliver is dark, withdrawn, and secretive. I need to fix that. And I can fix that. I know enough now, thanks to Mariel, to get to the bottom of this and set things right. Tori looks back at me. I know how to kill them both. My gut clenches. I don't want to hear this. I really don't want to hear any of this, but I have to. Running away won't fix this problem. I can't fall back on my old habits. Sure, it's great to walk out when things start to feel overwhelming. Sell your car, donate your clothes to a thrift store, and hit the road with a backpack and a bank account, knowing you can replace everything you just walked away from with very little effort. But if I want to fix Oliver, I need to stay here and participate in the solution. And I can't replace Paxton Vance. No matter how hard I try to talk myself into that plan, it's not happening. Somewhere along the way these past 2 months, things changed. I can't pinpoint the exact moment. It might have been that night we were jumping rooftops in Malibu. It might have been the first legit case we solved together. It might have been the day at the races. I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter when. The only thing that matters is that it did. So I suck it up and ask, both who? Liam, the guy bothering you and Pax, and Lucio Gori Sr., the guy after me. That's who's responsible for all this bullshit? I make a face. That's not what Mariel told me. Tori nods. They need to be taken out. You're going to have them killed? She smiles. That's the best part, Cindy. I won't have to do anything illegal myself. None of us will need to do anything illegal. Don't you see? We can fix it. All of it. but I need help to pull this off.
Whose help? The Mister's?
I don't want Pax doing this kind of thing anymore. I want him out of this crazy fixer business. I've got big plans for us, and none of it includes putting his life on the line, just to wipe away other people's mistakes.
Oh, Paxton Vance has no role in this job.
Then who? I'm getting frustrated now. I need answers, and she's being cryptic.
Victoria Arias smiles, and wow.
She really is the most striking woman I've ever seen. I'm no wallflower. I was born to a mother who puts the bomb in bombshell, and I looked just like her when she was my age. But Tori has another kind of beauty, something timeless and elegant. She is Grace Kelly to my Brigitte Bardot.
Us.
Us? I'm not sure I like where this is going. You need to know more. I don't...
Look, Tori says, cutting me off. I know how to fix this, but I'm the only one who can do it. Trust me on that.
But you just said us, as in me.
Listen, Cindy.
But there are voices downstairs, and she stops talking to look warily at the door for a second before turning her attention back to me.
Whatever is going on with you and Mariel, that needs to wait. This is an immediate threat, and I'm just lucky that Liam Henry and Lucio Gori haven't struck yet. They will kill me. Do you understand? They will kill West and my newly adopted son, Ethan, and then they will come looking for all the loose ends like you and Pax and Ivy, for fuck's sake. Do you want that sweet girl to be collateral damage? These people are dangerous. They do not give one shit about who they hurt, as long as they get what they want.
Well, what the fuck do they want?
Something we can't give them, Cindy. That's the only thing that matters. What they want, they can't have. And it's not because we're partial to it and won't give up. We don't have it, and we can't get it. But people like this don't care, do you understand?
She stops to take a breath because she was getting a little intense there for a second.
They don't care. They will hurt us anyway, just because they can. Just to prove a point. Just to make sure everyone knows there's no way out once you're in.
I exhale.
Well, what do you need me for?
Backup, she says immediately.
I need you for backup, Cindy. You're a Shrike, and I know what the Shrike family is capable of.
All the hairs on the back of my neck prickle and take offense.
What's that supposed to mean? That you're one tough bitch, Cinderella. That's what it means. And I need you. Ellie is not like us. She's not street smart the way we are. And Ivy is pregnant, so even if she had it in her, she can't help. I need you.
A knock at the door makes us both look at it.
Hey, Pax calls. You guys in there?
Come in, we say together. I nod to Tori, and she mouths, "Talk later," as Pax opens the door.
Chapter 26. Paxton. I need you? What could Victoria possibly need with Cindy? I knock on the door to Nolan's office. Hey, you guys in there? Come in. They both chime at the same time, like they're nervous, hiding something. I look at Tori and squint my eyes. Victoria, I say, greeting her with cold suspicion. She squints her eyes right back. Paxton, she says. Who are you supposed to be, Dick Tracy? She huffs some air. Well, you and Sparkle Plenty here have a good time. I have to get back to my family. Victoria pushes past me and leaves before I can say anything else. I look at Cindy and sigh. I'm sorry. She looks me up and down and tries to suppress a smile. Are you Dick Tracy? I look down at my trench coat and then take off my fedora. I didn't mean to be gone so long. We just ran into a few problems. Cindy says nothing, and I get a bad feeling about what she and Victoria might have been talking about. Did Victoria fill you in? No, Cindy says sweetly. No, I was up here looking out the window waiting for your car to arrive, and she came up with your mother to introduce herself. I mumble. She's wild and dramatic, so it's best to take anything she says with a grain of salt. Why didn't you answer my calls? Cindy twists one of her long blonde braids. I got rid of my phone. I was mad. Are you still? How can I be mad when you show up here just in the nick of time, detective? Cute but psycho, Miss Cookie, I ask through the smile as I nod at her outfit. God damn, her tits look spectacular in that tight t-shirt. On anyone else, I'd chalk that declaration up to a quirky sense of style, but on you it makes me nervous. Cindy takes a step towards me, her boots thudding on the hardwood floor, which makes me notice the rest of her. The long, tanned legs peeking out from that short, flirty skirt. The jingle of her bracelets that remind me of all the times she showed up at my house in that zipper-clad leather jacket. It makes so much sense now. How didn't I see it before? Cinderella Shrike, I say. And then a chuckle comes out. It's every bit as sexy as Miss Sugar Cookie. I'm sorry, she says, like it's her turn to explain. I shouldn't have lied about who I was, but I knew you'd never look twice if you found out. Everyone looks twice, Cindy. Everyone. We stare at each other for several long seconds, and I can't help but wonder if things have changed now that I know. They haven't for me, that's for sure. I love you, I say, taking off my ridiculous fedora and holding it to my chest. But it makes me nervous. What does? Cindy says, crossing the distance between us and placing her hand on my arm. She is heat. Even through my trench coat costume, I can feel her touch like we are skin on skin. Me? Because I'm Oliver's sister? Or because you're involved in something bigger than you thought? I scowl. What did Victoria tell you? Is that what you want this conversation to turn into? The jobs? The work packs? What you do? What I do? I just want to know how much I need to say right now. About where you were, what you were doing, or how it turned out? Cindy, no, she says softly. Don't. You don't need to protect me, okay? I'm Cinderella Shrike. I grew up with this shit, Pax. Do you really think I don't know what my family was into before I was born? I do. What are you talking about? Cindy shuts up as her eyes widen. Cindy, I say. What does that mean? You're my brother's best friend, right? He never talked about us, my mom and dad. I've met them, of course. Nice people. Your dad is cool as fuck, and your mom is, well, it's probably not appropriate to say anything else about your mom. She stares at me, and for a second I think she's going to get mad at how I might perceive her mother. But then she laughs loudly and looks down at those adorable boots on her feet. They call me the baby bomb. I mean, you've seen my sisters, obviously, so we are all little baby bombs. But I am so much like her in so many ways. Rory was such a princess. Princess Rory, I say, smiling. Aurora. Why the fuck didn't I figure this out? But we're so opposite. My sisters are classy, and I am... She looks down at her outfit. Well, not... I'm nothing but an explosion waiting to happen. I want to fuck you. Cindy laughs. Why, detective, she says. That's not what this conversation is about. I don't care, Cindy. I don't give a fuck whose sister you are. I don't give a fuck what Oliver thinks. And even if I'd known that first time you came to my door with my food, there's no way in hell I'd ever look at another woman again. He's coming here, you know. I know, and I don't care what he thinks. I'm good for you. I am. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, Cindy, or put you in danger. You're not part of this, okay? You're not going to get mixed up in this whole Mr. World. You won't. I can keep you safe. No one, I say, pulling her into my chest and wrapping my arms tightly around her, will ever hurt you as long as I live. She rests her head on my shoulder and hugs me back. I can smell her hair and her skin. And her clothes, and everything about her is sweet and good and delicious. It's cute that you think I need protecting. We'll be fine. We'll figure this out and take care of it. We'll... No, I say, pushing her back a few inches so I can look down at her face. No, you're not understanding me. There is no we in this Mr. problem. Yes, the other guys and I will figure it out, but you're staying here with Ellie and Ivy and Tori. Oliver really would kick my ass if I dragged you into this. Paxton, she says, grabbing hold of my biceps with both hands. He's my brother. What happened to him happened to me, too. And yeah, I was too young to understand what it all meant at the time. But I get it now. I understand. I'm as much a part of this as anyone. I'm not going to just sit back and let these people put him in danger. Or you, for fuck's sake. I want to shake her right now. Ask her what the fuck Victoria Arias said. What little plan she might be hatching, and how she might have tried to involve Cindy, because that's the kind of woman Tori is. But I don't want to fight about this bullshit now. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, Miss Cookie. My hands slide down to her ass and lift up that flirty little skirt until they are cupped against her cheeks with only her silky panties holding me back. The first time I walked into his office, I wanted nothing more than to have him bend me over his desk and fuck me from behind. Jesus, I say. Yes. I wanted the window shades wide open so anyone passing could see us. Fuck, I say, my dick getting hard. I have a feeling she's just trying to change the subject away from our real-world problems, but I don't really care. I wanted him to slip his fingers under the elastic of my panties and pull them down to my knees. I drop my hat on the floor, turn her around, and push her face first onto the desk, lifting her skirt up as I grab her panties. Like this, Miss Cookie? I tug on them, hard, making her gasp as I drag them down and kick her legs open with my foot. Spread 'em, ma'am. She giggles, but complies, so her panties are stretched taut at her knees. I hope you have a warrant for this illegal search, Detective. I don't need a warrant, Miss Cookie. You're mine now, and I'll search you whenever I want. My fingertips lightly trace her inner thigh as I bend down. She shivers and arches her back, sucking in a breath at my soft touch. I think you might be hiding something. She giggles again as I kiss that little dent behind her knee and make my way up the back of her leg. Where could I possibly... Oh, she sighs when I nip her ass cheek. Yeah, O is right, I mumble, inhaling her sweet scent as I place both hands on her ass and begin to lick between her legs. She trembles when my finger finds her clit and begins to stroke. My God, she says, her breath coming quicker. I'm ready to confess. You're not getting off that easy, you little trollop. Her laugh is loud and happy, and holy fuck, she makes me so damn happy back. I know you won't tell me the truth unless I ease it out of you, so maybe I need to ease something into you. I insert a finger into her pussy, searching for the trigger to make her crazy with lust, to get your full attention. Pax, she moans. That's Detective Pax to you. Detective? But she can't finish because my tongue is swirling around the rim of her perfect little puckered asshole. Her arms go above her head on the desk, and she stretches forward, giving me more access. I want to come right now, all over your face. I stand up and smack her ass, leaving a perfect red handprint on her right cheek. Not yet, my pretty little cookie. I'm just getting started. Dessert can come later. Much later. I pull her up and quickly spin her around, her big blue eyes wide with surprise and want, and everything that makes a man happy when he's with a woman. I lift her shirt up, find a sweet, pale pink bra under that graphic tee, and lick my lips as I study the way her breasts practically spill out around the white eyelet lace. I'm going to have my cake and eat it too, sugar. They say it can't be done, but it's happening, right now. I push her so she is forced to lie back on the cold, hard surface of the desk. Her chest is rising and falling with the anticipation of what's coming. God, she is so damn hot. I missed you, I say impulsively. Did you miss me? Or was it easy to move on and forget? Detective, she whispers. If I didn't know better, I'd think you were smitten with me. You have been the only thing on my mind for weeks. Call it whatever you want. I say, looking down and noticing that her panties have dropped to her ankles. I reach down, tug them around her boot, and then put them in my trench coat pocket for later. She gives me a knowing smirk, but I don't care. I kick her legs open again, then reach down, grab under her knees, and hike them up to her chest. Her eyes track mine as I lower myself in front of her open pussy. She's glistening with readiness, but I'm just getting started. One sweep of my tongue is all it takes to make her moan. "If you make me squirt on this desk," I laugh loudly just picturing it. "Miss Cookie, if I make you squirt all over Nolan Delaney's desk, my life will be complete. I will hold that over his head for decades to come," pun intended. She laughs, reaching for the collar of my coat, pulling my face to hers before I can object. The kiss is sweet. Her full lips taste like strawberries. Our tongues dance together like we've been practicing these moves for a lifetime. Her hands are in my hair, on my face, then her fingernails dig into my arms. "You have too many clothes on. I want to feel your skin. Take off that ridiculous coat." "Are you ordering me around?" I laugh into her mouth as I kiss her again. "Please," she begs. "Take it off." I stand up, shrug the coat off, and then slip my t-shirt over my head. She stares at my chest before lowering her gaze, eyes lingering on the precise muscles of my stomach. She flattens both palms onto my skin as heat creeps into my body. "You're beautiful," she says. "You know that?" I shake my head, very slowly. "You're looking in the mirror, sugar. It's not me you're seeing." She bites her lip, eyes bright with mischief. "And sweet, too. I'm not the one covered in sprinkles, Miss Cookie. I'm going to marry you, you know." I lean down and take her face in my hands, fingertips brushing small circles against her cheeks as I stare into her blue eyes. "And have my babies?" I ask. "Little baby sugar cookies." "Maybe little baby brownies," she whispers, and then she frowns deeply and whispers, "Don't leave me like that again. I was so sad." Oh, God. I am sad, too, just thinking about it. "I'm really sorry I did that. I was just busy, Cindy. And it was confusing, and being hired to kill a friend is kind of fucked up." "I would have helped you." "No," I say. "I mean, I know you're capable, but no. I don't want you involved in any of this." "I'm already..." "Shh," I whisper, kissing her mouth to stop this conversation. "Later. We have forever to talk about this. But right now, all I want to do is enjoy everything about you. Before your brother gets here and we have to duke it out, I don't add." She sees, or maybe senses, what I'm thinking and frowns again. It makes creases in her forehead as her little nose scrunches up. But she doesn't push it. Instead, she reaches down and begins unbuckling my belt. She says, "I want to take off your pants."
Chapter 27. Cindy. My fingers fumble with nervousness. I suddenly am shaking, unable to control my body's reactions to everything that has happened over the past several weeks. "Cindy," Pax says, his hands taking over for the task I am seemingly unable to complete. His belt opens, the buckle jingling as he guides my fingertips to the button on his jeans. I manage that, the rapid beating of my heart still making me uneasy, and then drag the zipper down. Pax is eager and ready for me, pulling his hard dick from his boxer briefs and pumping himself a few times before once again guiding my hand to where it should automatically be. I gaze up at him, expecting him to ask questions, but his eyes are half-masked and filled with desire. "You really are beautiful," I say. The part of me in the moment is unable to deny what I feel when I look at his face or body. "I really do love you." "I really do love you back. I don't care what Oliver says about this. It's real. And it's ours, not his. He has no say in anything." His smile resets the uneven beating of my heart, and just as suddenly as it came, my anxiety passes. The thumpity-thump is normalized to just plain old thump-thump. "I want to be with you. Not just today, but forever. I want to wake up every morning thinking about the moment we will fall asleep together that night. I want to drink mint juleps with you, and margaritas, and start a new life that has nothing to do with the past. I want all of that. But right now, I just want to watch you, Cindy. Suck my cock. Take it down your throat. Swallow me. And then I'm gonna fuck you until you scream. I am nothing but heat. My whole body floods with warmth. My pussy is wet and throbbing for him, ready to forget, if just for a moment, what's really happening here. I deserve this moment. I really do. So I grab his biceps and sit up. I place both palms flat on his chest and push. Just slightly. Just enough to make him take one step back and give me room to sink to my knees between him and the desk. When I look up, I'm the one who's smiling now. Are you ready to pick up where we left off?
So fucking ready.
I open my mouth. He lets out a long breath of anticipation and slowly pumps his thick cock up and down as my tongue reaches for his tip. I lick. Once. Twice. My eyes trained on his as they close. His hands are on my head, fingertips tracing down my long braids as I take the head of his cock in my mouth and suck. He fists my braids, opens his lust-filled eyes for a moment, then slowly urges me to take him deeper. I open as wide as I can, taking him the way he wants, letting him fill me up until I can't take any more and begin to gag.
Breathe, Pax says, encouraging me.
I do. I breathe through it, placing my hands flat on his thighs so I can push him away if it gets to be too much. But just as I do that, he lets go of my head and places his hands on top of mine, slowly moving his hips back and forth as he guides my fingers to his balls. If I didn't have his cock in my mouth, I'd smile. Instead, I chuckle, the vibrations of my vocal cords hitting him in just the right way because he moans and his hands resume their position on my head. Urging, more and more urging to take him in as far as I can. Drool starts slipping past my lips, dripping down onto my right knee, and it only makes me want to try harder.
Mmm,
I murmur around his hot flesh. Pax reaches down and twists my nipple, making me groan with surprise at the acute twinge of pain. I draw back out of instinct, but his hips follow me, keeping us connected.
Stop me, he says. Stop me if you don't like it, but I like it.
I look up at him and find a genuine look of concern on his face. My head moves forward, taking him deeper, one hand still fondling his balls as the other slides his pants down farther so I can play with his asshole.
Fuck,
he says, throwing his head back.
Fuck, Cindy.
I know he likes it. I know he wants more. I know he wants it to be dirty and sweaty and sticky. I want that too. So I pull back, then thrust forward. I let the tip of his dick bump up against the back of my throat. I welcome the gag reflex. I welcome the drool spilling out of my mouth. I do it again and again and again until he is gripping my head too tight, so my scalp begins to tingle. The last thrust forward ends with me pulling all the way back until his long, hard cock falls out of my mouth. Pax opens his eyes, but I hold up one finger and say, "Just be patient." And then I get underneath him. His huge balls dangle in front of my face and my tongue flicks out, reaching for them, flicking against them until my hand grabs hold and I open my mouth wider and suck them.
"I'm gonna come," he says. "I'm gonna come down your throat."
And I'm gonna help him do that. My mouth goes searching for his cock again. I take him in all at once this time, my head bobbing back and forth, the drool coating my chin, falling onto my breasts as my finger is still tracing the outline of his asshole. He grips my hair tighter, if that's possible, and the salty taste of semen fills my mouth, then my throat. I swallow all of it as he thrusts his hips at my face, and when the wave of contractions slows to almost nothing, I pull back and look up to meet his gaze when I lick my lips.
"Your turn now," he says.
A moment later, he's pulled me to standing, and he's walking me around the side of the desk where the large executive chair is waiting. He sits, holding my hand, and then points to his lap.
I want to smack that ass, Cindy Shrike. Not because you're bad, just because I like it.
Lie across my knee, Cindy. His eyes are still heavy from the orgasm, but his voice is clear and commanding.
You want to spank me? I ask through a smile.
Turn that fucking ass red.
He pauses.
You'll enjoy it, I promise.
Then he pats his knee with one hand and encircles my waist with the other.
Right here, sugar.
I stumble forward, kinda turned on, kinda turned off. Not sure what this means or why he likes it. But I bend over so my hips are centered on his lap and let my head and legs dangle over the side of the chair.
You're doubting me, aren't you?
I just don't get it. But proceed, detective. Perhaps you know something I don't.
He leans forward so his mouth is close enough to my ear to hear him whisper, I know all the ways, all the things, all the secrets, Cinderella.
His hand slides my skirt up, and the cool air from the AC hits my bare ass.
So don't rush to judgment.
The light pressure of his fingertips tracing a line down the crease of my ass and into the heat between my legs makes me suck in a breath.
Keep going, he asks.
I can practically hear him smile. I swallow. Yes, keep going. He withdraws his hand from between my legs, and I'm immediately wishing for him to do it again. But instead of going right for my most sensitive parts, his palm glides across the round curve of my cheeks, barely skimming the small opening between my thighs.
You're going to tease me? I ask.
No answer from Mr. Mysterious. Just another light pass of his hand across the place where my legs meet my ass. Then another, and another. Until I'm relaxed, my eyes closed, enjoying the sensation. And I can feel his cock underneath me growing bigger and getting thicker with each passing moment. I hear the crack of his hand before I even realize the pain. My back bucks a little, making me wobble on his lap.
Damn, Paxton!
Shh, he says, continuing with his light touches. My ass is heating up and the kink has barely started. This time his fingertips dip just a little deeper into that space between my legs, and once he even bumps up against my clit. I bite my lip and wish for more when he doesn't do it again.
Do you like it?
You're teasing me.
It's a good tease, though, right?
And just as the last word is out of his mouth, that flick of his finger on my pussy as his hand passes over my cheeks.
Yes,
I say. Another crack echoes off the tall ceilings of the office. And then another.
Ow!
But again, his fingertips are there on my clit. A small, barely detectable tickle that has me squirming.
Hold still,
he says. Another smack landing hard. And I'm just about to sit up and smack him back when his palm flattens out over the stinging heat radiating across my bottom.
I'm not letting you get away, Cinderella. Someone has to learn who's in charge here.
Who's in... Ow! Jesus fucking Christ, Mysterious! What the hell?
I told you to stay put, didn't I?
Paxton, you said you wanted to do this because it was... Ow!
Fun, he asks. It is fun. But when I tell you to stay put, Miss Cookie, I need to know you'll stay put. Otherwise, how do I know you're safe?
I turn my body just enough to look up at him. You are punishing me? His fingers are tracing that pattern along my legs again, teasing again, because nothing even remotely comes close to touching my pussy this time.
I'm not punishing you. This feels too good to be punishment. I'm just showing you that you can trust me. So the next time I want you to do something that will keep you safe, you'll do it without question.
That's not fair, I say. You're the one who left and didn't send a message.
Which is why we're having fun right now, and why you only have one ass cheek red instead of two.
You can't threaten me, Paxton.
Do you want me to stop?
He asks, raising an eyebrow.
Really? because we haven't even gotten to the good part yet.
I squint my eyes at him. What good part?
The part where you come, of course. I came. Now it's your turn.
But you want to smack the cum out of me?
Another crack on my ass, and I'm about to jump up when he leans over and traps me there beneath his chest. Stop resisting, Cinderella. Just give in and trust me.
He leans closer to my ear and whispers,
Do you trust me?
I relax and drop my head. Yes, because I do. I know he's got a plan here, and I know it ends with satisfaction, so why bother fighting it? He rubs my ass again, his touch rougher, his circles over my skin larger, and then another smack. This time I suck in air and bite my lip, but don't buck my back in protest because he's got his fingertips between my legs. And this time the light pass over my clit lingers and he plays with it.
Whatever Victoria told you when you were alone in here with her needs to be forgotten. Do you understand?
I want to say, what do you mean? Or, she didn't tell me anything.
But I know what he means, and she did tell me something.
He's got every right to be suspicious. She's asking me to help her do something none of the misters will sign off on. It will put her in danger. It will put me in danger, and it might put everyone else in danger, too.
Deal?
Pax asks after letting me think for a few moments. Deal, I say.
Good, Pax says, urging me to get up off his lap. He helps me, and then we both get up.
I thought you were going to...
But he's got me bent over the desk again before I can finish. Oh, I have no intention of denying you anything, Miss Cookie.
He lifts my skirt once more and grabs my hips and positions me by kicking my legs open.
I'm happy to fuck you now.
His cock finds my pussy wet and ready. He eases into me way too slowly for how turned on I am right now. I can still feel the sting of his spankings. I can still imagine the tickle sensation of him playing with my clit. And it's throbbing right now. My lower body is staggeringly weak as I wait for him to fully enter me. His cock is rock hard, his girth stretching me, making me open my legs wider to accommodate him. He leans forward, takes my hands, and slides them along the surface of the desk until they are above my head. He tightly grabs both wrists with one hand, and then both my long braids with the other.
Hard, he asks, or soft?
I don't even need to think about it. Hard, I say. He pulls out, almost all the way out, and then rams himself back inside me with so much force I slide forward on the desk. I grunt. But he's doing it again, so the grunt turns into a moan, turns into a long, whimpering song of yes, yes, yes. Our skin-on-skin contact makes a slapping sound. His large, hard balls are slamming against my clit. One hand is fisting the skin of my hip, while the other has my braids, and he's pulling my head back, and back, and back. Until he says,
Open your eyes, Cindy, and watch what you do to me.
I do. I open them, and his face is everything I ever dreamed of when I pictured myself with Mr. Mysterious as a teenager. Pure, testosterone-filled maleness. He leans down to kiss me, biting my lip, then my tongue, and then he says,
Come.
I wail. His hand clamps over my mouth as everything I've ever wanted comes to fruition. Wave after wave of spasming orgasm. His fingers are there on my clit to bring it all home, and the ensuing flood of wetness can only mean one thing. I did, in fact, squirt all over Mr. Romantic's desk. Pax is laughing. I'm collapsed on the desk, my legs so weak they tremble. But then there is a loud ruckus outside the door.
Shit, Pax says.
What? What is that? But Pax has let go of me, and he's pulling up his pants.
Get dressed, he says. Quick, it's your brother.
Oh, fuck. I scramble around looking for my t-shirt, then hike it over my head just as someone pounds loudly on the door.
Pax, Oliver yells from the other side. What the fuck are you doing?
The doorknob jiggles as he tries to open it, but thankfully it's locked. I glance around as I smooth down my shirt and make sure my girls are both tucked neatly into my bra.
But then I catch sight of my reflection in the glare of the window and realize there's no way out of this. My hair is a mess. I look as well-fucked as any cheating wife I've ever followed after pulling a nooner with an illicit lover. I whirl around to find Pax just as Oliver begins crashing his body into the door, trying to break the lock. I'm reaching for Pax, desperate to smooth down his hair as he straightens his shirt, when Oliver comes crashing through. He glares at Paxton for a moment, breathing hard, nostrils flaring, eyes as angry as I've ever seen them. And then he looks at me. And every bit of that evaporates. "Cindy," he says, calm, pulling on the end of his shirt a little, like he's trying to compose himself. "Ollie," I say, smiling, hoping like hell he's not going to start shit. "What are you doing here?" Oliver glances at Paxton, grinds his teeth, and clenches his jaw for a second.
"Just looking for my best friend."
He looks back at me.
"Hey, Sin, we've got a few things to talk about here. Why don't you go join the other misses in the kitchen? I hear they're making dinner, or something."
My mouth opens in shock.
"Did you just tell me to go to the kitchen?" "Cindy," Pax says.
I look over at him and he shakes his head.
"Go. I'll catch up with you later."
"Yeah," Oliver says, cracking his knuckles. "He'll catch up later." I sigh, resign myself to the fact that I was just dismissed, and walk out into the hallway where all the misters are waiting, wide eyes, mouths hanging open. I get an angry look from Mr. Romantic as he figures out we just fucked in his office, and then I spy Victoria beckoning me at the bottom of the stairs. I don't look back when the office door slams, and I pretend not to hear the yelling that comes after. I just follow Victoria through the bustling hotel, past the restaurant, and down a long hallway where we stop in front of one of those double-swinging doors you find in commercial kitchens.
"Well," she says, "I guess that's the end of that friendship."
"That's not true," I say, immediately irritated with her. "They're best friends. They're gonna work it out."
"Hmm," Victoria says. "A best friend doesn't usually fuck the baby sister in his other friend's office. But whatever. They can have their little fight. All the important stuff is going on in here anyway."
And then she swings the door open and I see all the other misses, plus my big sister Ariel, huddled around a long stainless steel table.
"Well," Ariel says, once they all notice us, "look who it is. The wandering princess has finally been corralled."
"Don't be dramatic, Ari," I say, waving a hand at her. "But what are you doing here anyway? What's all this stuff got to do with you?" She grabs something off the table and holds it up in the air. It takes every ounce of self-control not to double over and get sick at the sight of what she's holding.
"What the? Where did you get that?"
I whisper, my hand over my heart as I stare at the shiny silver envelope.
"It came to the office in the mail, Cinderella, and it's addressed to you."
Chapter 28. Paxton. Both Oliver and I watch Cindy retreat through the door. I catch a glimpse of Nolan, Mac, Five, and West lingering just outside the door before she closes it behind her. And then we turn and face each other. "Fuck you," Oliver says. "Just fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you." He pokes me in the chest with his finger each time he says it, but the last time he pushes with his whole palm and I have to take a step back. "Look. No, you fucking look." Oliver snarls the words out. "You fucking look, asshole. My sister?" He pauses like he's still unable to come to terms with it. "My baby fucking sister, Pax. Just what the fuck? Why don't you just rat me out to the police while you're at it, huh? Or chop me up and feed me to the poor? Hey, I got an idea. Why don't I just fucking punch your lights out?" The blow comes hard, smacking against my jaw. I'm not expecting it, so my head snaps to the side and my ear starts to ring. The second blow clips my lip and blood sprays out onto Oliver's white thermal shirt. I see red. I duck my head and bull charge him, straight into the desk. He goes flying over it backwards in some kind of circus somersault and actually lands on his feet on the opposite side. I lean over. He meets me in the middle, eye to eye. "What the hell is wrong with you?" he asks. "What the fuck do you want me to say, Oliver? I like her, okay? She came to me. I didn't, like, seek her out or anything. She came onto me, man, at my fucking house in Malibu. I didn't know." "That's funny," Oliver says, his rage about to spill over, "because I distinctly remember you spitting out your drink at Corporate's house 2 weeks ago when I mentioned I had a sister named Cinderella." Oliver starts walking around the desk as he talks. "You didn't think it was relevant then? Instead, you decide to keep it a secret, tell fucking Perfect before me, and then proceed to bang her in Nolan's sick fuck Delaney's office while everyone else is downstairs." He's standing in front of me again, fists clenching. "If you swing," I warn him, "I'll swing back." He's in motion before I finish, and he connects with my cheek before I can block. But okay, I get it now. It's a fight. I swing back, clip him in the jaw just before he ducks, and then he rams me, head first, pushing me into the wall. Pictures fall off, and the door flies open. Nolan is standing there pointing at us as he roars, "Knock it the fuck off!" But I barely hear it because Oliver's next swing also connects, this time with the side of my head. My ear absorbs the second shot in less than 2 minutes and rings even louder. Then Mac and West have me by the arms, and Five and Nolan are pushing Oliver back to the other side of the room. "That's enough," Five says, when Oliver continues to shout at me. "That's enough." Oliver turns on Five then. "How long have you known about this?" "Me?" Five laughs. "I found out last night. I came to you today, and now you know too. So don't go mixing me up with the rest of this bullshit, Oliver Shrike. Remember who the fuck you are." "I know who I am," Oliver says, swiping the back of his hand across his bleeding lip. "But," he points to the rest of us, "I don't know who the fuck these guys are anymore. I'll tell you that right now. I have no fucking clue who you guys are. I think I'm done here. I think I'm out. Fuck you," he says, pointing to me. Then Nolan. "And you and your sick shit. And you too, asshole," to Perfect. "You and your do-gooder bullshit can just all go to hell." "What about me?" West says. "You're the worst of all of them, Corporate," Oliver sneers his name. "You lie like a motherfucker. I hate liars." "Just calm the fuck down," I say, shrugging West and Mac off me. "It's not the end of the world, and you're one to talk, dickhead. None of us are innocent, okay? Not even you." "Not even me?" Oliver says, spitting blood onto the floor of Nolan's office. "Nice," Nolan says, taking a swipe at Oliver's shoulder. "Nice fucking manners, Shrike." But Oliver doesn't even notice. He's glaring at me. His blue eyes are tiny slits of anger, and he peers at me from under his messed up blonde hair. He's a big guy. Not as tall as me, but a damn big guy. He looked like a linebacker even as a freshman in college. He looked rough. But now, with his biceps bulging against the tight fabric of his long-sleeved Shrike bike's thermal, tattoos peeking out from underneath the collar, sweat pouring down the side of his jaw as he tries to contain his anger, he just looks dangerous. "It's not the end of the world," Oliver says, repeating my words. "To you, but I had one sister, Paxton Vance, one sister who was smaller than me all growing up, one baby sister who looked up to me as her protector instead of down on me like an annoyance, and you just stole her away." "Oliver," Max says, "come on, man, it's not like that, and you know it." But Oliver shrugs him off when he tries to clap him on the shoulder. "How the fuck would you know?" And then he looks at all of us. "How the fuck would any of you know?" He points at Mac. "Do you have a little sister? Or you, Nolan? Who the fuck knows with West? He's such a goddamned liar." "Hey," West protests. "I do," Five says. "I know you do, asshole." Oliver doesn't take his eyes off me. "So I get it, which is why I told you right away. But look, you're best friends with Pax for a reason, right?" Oliver just shakes his head. "You know he'll take good care of her." Oliver breaks his death stare at me to look at Five. "Take good care of her? Are you fucking kidding me?" "Oliver," I say. "No," he cuts me off. "No, you can't take good care of her. You just fucked her, Vance. You just fucked her." "Look," I say, "I get it. The office wasn't appropriate. No shit, asshole, Nolan says. We are a fucking hotel, you know? I can't believe you guys, Oliver says. You think this is funny? He stares at us, all of us, one at a time, and then his gaze lands back on me. I'm not talking about fucking her, Pax. I'm talking about fucking her over. For a second, I think he's talking about me cheating or something. I'm about to protest when it finally hits me. You ask everyone if I'm normal, Oliver says, pointing at West. Why doesn't he date anyone? Why doesn't he have a girlfriend? How can a guy run a dating site and not have a girlfriend? Well, I'll tell you assholes why, he says, snarling the last word like a wild animal. Because you don't pack other people into your fucked up baggage and take them on the trip. If there's one thing my dad made me understand when all that shit went down 10 years ago, that was it. You travel to your destination alone. You don't bring anyone along for the ride. He looks back at me and everything becomes clear. You just got her involved, Pax, he says. Poking me in the chest so hard, I have to take half a step back. You just packed her bags and put her on a runaway train to nowhere. Whoever is doing all this, they're going to come after her, too. So congratulations, Mr. Mysterious. You're probably going to get my little sister killed.
Chapter 29. Cindy. Victoria snatches the envelope from Ari's hand and flings it onto the table. It goes sliding across the stainless steel and drops off the edge onto the floor, out of sight. She can worry about her junk mail later, okay? We have a serious fucking problem. Wait, I say, looking at my sister. Do I get mail at the office often? Nope, Ariel says. This is the first time that I know of. And then she narrows her eyes at me like she's got a follow-up question. Okay. A cute blonde woman says, refocusing our attention. Look, we're all on edge right now. None of us know what's going on. I know what's going on, Ellie, Victoria snaps. I know exactly what's going on. And then she's rattling on a mile a minute about Liam Henry and that guy named Gory and the fact that her father was tortured to death. Which totally sucks. Completely sucks, but I'm slowly edging my way around the table until the silver envelope lies like a bad omen on the floor next to my feet. I want to bend down and pick it up, but I can't, not without being noticed. So I kick it under the table and try to follow the conversation. Try not to think about what's inside that envelope. Try not to imagine all the many, many ways this situation just got infinitely worse. What can we do? Ivy asks. You're not doing anything, Victoria says. You're pregnant, so you're not doing anything. And you, Victoria nods to the one called Ellie, you're just not cut out for stuff like this, okay? I need Cindy and Ariel. Wait, I say, finally catching up. What's Ariel got to do with this? Jesus, Cindy, Ariel says. If you'd stop by home once in a while, maybe you'd know. Know what? Please tell me she didn't get a silver envelope, too. I've been working with Pax and Oliver on this shit since it happened. I know everything, Ari nods to Ivy. I know about what happened to you on Martha's Vineyard. Wait, what? I ask. But Ari ignores me and nods to Ellie. I know that Alan jerk reappeared in your life and Ellen Abraham was causing trouble at your work. Who is Ellen? Alan? What the hell is... I know about the island, Tori. Everything, including what happened to your father. But most of all, I am the only one who knows what happened to Oliver that night. That night. Just hearing those two words makes me sick. What happened? Ivy asks. What part did he play? But Ari just shakes her head. Sorry, it's not my story to tell. Well, good for you, Ariel, Victoria says. But I know who's responsible. Liam Henry set up West and I because Lucio Gory Jr. wanted me dead. Now he's dead, but his father is still alive. And I'm sure West wants to thank his parents. She does air quotes as she says that word. Are good enough people. But they're not. No one buys a child. So can we please put all this bickering bullshit aside and get on the same page?